If you're able and you go stand with me, we're just going to read one verse and have a word of prayer, and then I'll ask you to be seated. Last week we looked at the idea of judgment, and we spoke about verse number one and what it means and what it does not mean. And I want you to notice that if you're in this context, that verse number six is also in the context of verses 1 through 5. So basically, this whole section of passage here, Jesus is talking about judgment. And basically, it came down to the fact that you got to get the splinter out of your own ear. You got to get the splinter before you can get a splinter out of someone else's eye, you got to get the 2x4 out of your head, eye, that's sticking out like this. And so, the point is you're not to judge hypocritically. You're not to judge in hypocrisy. And I think everybody would understand by now, Jesus is one of the peoples that he is primarily speaking to is the Pharisees. Because he's already told us that if your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you have to keep that in mind. And then what I want you to do right now real quick is take your Bible and a ribbon or your finger and go to John chapter number 8, because when we get to John chapter number 8, we're almost finished. Because I think John 8 is a very good example of what Jesus Christ is going to try to teach us this morning from the passage of Scripture that we'll read, and that is verse number 6. Here's what the Bible says. Now again, this is in the context of judgment. And here's what Jesus said. This, by the way, I would call this one of the hard sayings of Jesus. This would be one of those hard sayings that the Lord gives us. But we're not to just preach the easy verses, we're to preach the hard verses. So notice what he says, and I'm going to give attention to this one verse for this whole message. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Lord, help us today as we look at this verse and what it means and the application of it today. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand that the disciples were listening to these words that you spoke under the context of judgment and hypocritical judgment. And how we're not to judge one another except that first we judge ourselves. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help. I don't want to re-preach the message from last week, but Lord, help us to focus on this one verse in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me make a very serious statement, and that is this: discernment and wisdom are very necessary in the life of a Christian. Very necessary. I mean, if there is ever a time that we need discernment and wisdom in our life, and praise God, God gives us the book of wisdom, and He gives us the Bible on how to make discernment. But if we're going to make right choices and right decisions in our life, then we're going to have wisdom and discernment. Now, verse number 6 is one of those verses where Jesus Christ says you're going to have wisdom and you're going to have discernment. Because you can't give that which is holy unto the dogs, and you cannot cast your pearls before swine. And the reason is, swine don't really care anything about pearls. They could care less. All they want to do is roll in the mud. If you put lipstick and a pearl necklace on a pig, he could care less. And so in this one verse, Jesus is commanding, he is commanding discernment and discretion on how we're to deal with people and situations, and maybe we could even say as a society as a whole. He makes it clear that judgment is not wrong, but hypocritical judgment is very wrong. And we even used two stories last week to illustrate how sometimes we look at a situation and we don't discern it the right way. We don't judge it the right way. And so we have to be very careful in our judgment. So I would just remind you from the last message that Jesus doesn't exclude judgment. He commands it. And in fact, he just says, you have to judge righteous judgment. He told that to the disciples when they were trying to tell him that he was of the devil. And Jesus kind of made the statement, well, you know, no house divided against itself can stand. And they just would not listen to him, even though he continued to preach truth into them and the way of salvation. So when you come to this verse, you might say it's a hard saying, but we must understand that it must be taken very seriously when Jesus makes the command of verse number 6. We need to depend on the Lord to make sure that we make righteous judgments. And when we determine that a person is, listen, it can be very possible that a person becomes too rebellious to hear the gospel. They just refuse to hear the gospel. Or there may be people who become heretical and false teachers. We must be very careful in not in self-satisfied judgment when people go in a wrong direction, when people will not hear the gospel, when they will not be saved, when person goes away from the Word of God, they throw the Bible out, they change their doctrine on salvation, they go in a different direction. There is no self-satisfied judgment in that. No, there is great disappointment and great sorrow and great hurt, because you know what? Jesus is hurt when people will not take the gospel and understand the power of the gospel is what has saved them, what is willing to save their soul from hell. Jesus did that for them. He's not glad when somebody rejects his way of salvation. And so I even think about when Jesus, one of the last times that he approached Jerusalem. Actually, it was the last time that he approached Jerusalem, and he looked over that city. And he saw the city and he wept over it because they had refused to recognize who he was. And when we get to John chapter 8 towards the end of the chapter, it is a great illustration of what we find in verse number 6, where Jesus says, you can't give that which is holy to the dogs. You can't give that which is precious. And by the way, that's the way I look at it, because at this time, pearls were very, very precious. They were the precious jewel of the day. And you said, you can't cast your pearls before the swine. So I'm going to look at three things, I think. Look at those things that are precious, those things that are perverse, and then make an application to this verse that we read just this morning. And there's many applications. Now, that which is holy is that which is separate. That which is holy is that which is sacred. That which is holy is that which is precious. So I want you just to think about that for just a minute. The Bible is precious. The Word of God is a precious thing to us. So that's a precious thing. Our eternal life, our salvation, that's a precious stone. That's something, when you look symbolically at something precious, you can't get any more precious than your salvation. When you think about Bible doctrines and Bible truths and what God has said through the Word of God, hey, those are precious. Salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel is precious. It is the power of God unto salvation. Pearls are precious. And that's why he's talking about something that is very valuable or very precious. And as I've already mentioned, Bible truth is precious. Pearls, because of their high value and the value that they have monetarily, make a good symbol of those things that will be valuable in life. Now, we know that pearls here speak figuratively of spiritual and moral things that are precious, like moral values. Listen, I'm telling you, moral values are more precious than material things. Valuable pearls, like I've already mentioned, Word of God. What about purity? That's precious. Honesty, integrity, virtue, and faithfulness. These are things of great value in our life. Now, in the text before us, he's told us how that scornful people will treat pearls. They'll just cast them aside, and they'll tread upon them and then turn on you and rend you in two. Now, some of the most precious pearls are found within the context of the message that Jesus Christ is preaching. So in the very context of what Jesus Christ is preaching, we could go back to chapter number 5 and we could go through all of the Beatitudes that Jesus tells a Christian how to live. A disciple is to live this way and this way. These are the precious things. Jesus never said, you got to make sure that you got enough money. No, Jesus said, you need to have humility that brings salvation. Going back to the Beatitudes, Jesus tells us about the precious pearls of humility that can bring salvation. Jesus Christ talks about to mourn over sin is a precious pearl that we might receive comfort. He talks about in the Beatitudes the pearl of meekness that does not mean weakness, but rather power under control with God. You see, these things are very precious. These are things that the lost world wants nothing to do with. These are the things that they stamp out. They call that which is good evil and that which is evil good. And they lie and they do all kinds of things. The precious pearl of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I don't think you'll ever pick up a book in the store and say, 10 ways to become successful. Number one, hunger and thirst after that which is righteous. No, but we know it. It's what brings the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It's a pearl that is very precious. He goes on to talk about the precious pearl of mercy. And that cannot be overstated in a disciple's life. Jesus wants us to know that these precious pearls of truth can be cast into the hog pen for people to trample on. And people today are trampling over honesty. Amen. They're trampling over truth. They're trampling over the Bible. They're trampling over the gospel. They're trampling over the only way of salvation. And it is a precious pearl, if you go on in that text, to be a peacemaker and to be pure in heart. And then he talks about all of these precious pearls in the Beatitudes and how that leads us to be the salt and the light of the world. And now he says here, as he has already told us to, your righteousness has to exceed that of the righteousness of the Pharisees. The number one people that Jesus has in mind here are the Pharisees and the scribes. But I would also say, since he's the Son of God and he knows all things, he knew those who sat among him and called themselves disciples but weren't even saved, like Judas Iscariot. And if you want to get down to Judas Iscariot, you will read when Judas Iscariot betrayed him. You know what the Bible says in the statement there when he betrayed him? He said he was the one who held the bag and he didn't care about the poor. He was only in it for the money. Did you get that? And that is so true in many aspects of life. People are more concerned about money than they are about righteousness and things that are pure and right. And so there are things that are precious, and we need to understand the things of God are very, very precious. The Word of God is very precious. The salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and all the things I just mentioned, those are very precious. But the Bible also talks about the things that are perverse. Now, in the case of verse number 6, he talks about dogs and swine in a very derogatory manner. And if you go back to the Old Testament and you go back to the Jewish society, and even going back last week, we mentioned these two animals and how they were looked at in Bible times, and I'll do that even in a more complete way. And so just to remind you that the dogs here, we don't think of dogs like that was in the Bible. When we think of dogs, we think of, you know, our little pet that's at home in the cage or can't waiting for us to come home and he's domesticated. These dogs were not domesticated. And the hogs were not domesticated. They were not something that, they were vile. They were something that were perverse. They were not friendly. They were vicious. They were dangerous. They were scavengers. And if you look at a dog in a scavenging way because they were mean and vicious and they had no concern from holy and consecrated things. They only cared about vile things. Jesus tells us that many people, many unbelievers are like that. Vicious. ugly, mean, ungodly, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. I could go to the book of Jude and talk about how God talks about that. But you need to understand that Jesus loves every person. Amen. Jesus Christ died for every person. Amen. Jesus Christ wants to, whosoever will may come. Jesus wants to save any person that will come to Him. But there are those who disdain the gospel, who disdain anything spiritual. And they will take the gospel and they will make fun of it, and they will viciously rip and tear it like a dog would a piece of meat if he got a hold of it. Now, that's dogs. Swine, on the other hand, in the Jewish society, was considered the most unclean animal that there was. It was an abominable animal. And by the way, I told you, I was raised as a young child growing up. We always had pigs. And I never met a pig that wanted to go to church. I never met a pig that had any concept for anything except himself. And that's exactly the way they are. And that's why they snort and grunt and bemoan their situation. And we used to have these hog troughs. You ever heard of a hog trough? And you would ever heard of this term, slop the hogs? All that means is that you take anything and everything that's been left over for the last day. And my mom had a big slop bucket. It was a big bucket, like you would get over here at Lowe's or whatever. And you just, every night we didn't throw it in the garbage disposal. We didn't even have garbage disposals. I remember the first time I ever saw a garbage disposal, scared me half to death. And we would pour all of the leftovers into that bucket. And one of my jobs every morning before school would be take that slop jar, that slop bucket, that nastiness, and just pour it in there. Now, we had more stuff that we gave them, but I'll guarantee you they ate every bit of the leftovers that was in that hog trough. Can you see the visual aid that Jesus is speaking to us here? And I want you to tune in now. And he's making us try to understand. Don't give that which is holy unto those who don't care anything about those things that are holy. Instead of receiving the pearls of truth, if you were to put pearls of truth inside of a hog pen, the Bible says not only would they trample on it, but then they would turn on you and rend you. Now, I want to spend a little time here getting us to understand that the idea that Jesus is trying to get across to us is we have to make judgment calls. It is wise to recognize stubbornness. It is wise to recognize the danger of those who refuse to receive the things of God. Now again, I will tell you that Jesus over and over and over again preached to the scribes and to the Pharisees. Over and over and over again, he preached to those that would rend him and turn on him. He still continued to preach the truth to them. Pigs were considered an abomination. I'm sure that you've heard, but in 168 B.C., Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig on the Jewish altar. He forced the priest to eat pigs, which was an absolute abomination to the Jewish people. And it was such an atrocity that it sparked what history calls the Maccabean revolt against Greece. All because of a pig. Because they knew that the symbolization of that would be to God an abomination. And because a Jewish person would never have even tried to domesticate a pig, most of the swine they encountered were like dogs in the sense that they were wild animals who fought for themselves, and could be found mostly in the garbage dumps of society. And like the dogs, those swine were greedy and vicious and filthy, even by ordinary pig standards, if there is such thing. Here's the idea. If you come between a pig and his food, he will not only eat the food, he will eat you. Amen. And you understand, if you've ever hunted pigs, like in the wild, they have major tusks and they have sharp hooves. And they're a wild, you should be very careful of a wild pig or a wild dog. Now you take those two animals and you put them together, and Jesus is painting a picture for us of that which is vicious, that which is unclean, and that which is abominable. And the effect of sin and the effect of evil upon man as a result of the fall is to make many with respect to the truth. They have no respect for the truth. Some people lie so much until they think, till they try to get people to think it's truth. A lie is still a lie. Truth is still truth. In Old Testament times, they were a symbol of men and women with worthless character, poor character, evil character. They had contempt for the things of God. And listen, it seems like right now in our society, there is a contempt sometimes for just right living. Amen. Just righteous living. And swine would be like those who trample the scriptures and the precepts of God's word. And they would be men of impurity of life. They would be corrupt and polluted and profane and even obscene and sensual. And we could even, if we would talk about a Christian, we would use the word carnal. Because you could be carnal. These vile men would not know the value of the gospel, would tread down it. Now listen, the very epitome of what we're looking at here would be the disciples. Pharisees. Jesus spoke truth to them so many times, and all they did was kill him. Does everybody understand that? They represent those who have no appreciation for character. Men who are dogs and piggish tell us that sin makes, men become brutal and vicious and vile and fierce and cruel and filthy. And listen, I am glad that church is a place where we can come together and gather around the Word of God. Now I want you to go to John chapter number 8. Now, here's what I want to tell you about John chapter number 8. I was reading through this week and I thought, man, which part of this should I read in the message? Because this is like what Jesus is talking about. And here's the point I want to make first of all. You cannot give a pig a pearl. Does everybody understand Jesus Christ never did anything wrong? Amen. He was perfect in every way. In John chapter number 8, let's just try this. Let's just go to verse number 12. The first 11 verses is about the woman who was caught in adultery. And Jesus dealt with that. And after that, in verse number 12, Jesus began to speak and he says, I'm the light of the world. Now look what Jesus says. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then here's the Pharisees. Here we go. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bear record of thyself. And then notice what they said. Thy record is not true. Is everybody getting this? You have pearls and you have swine. I'm just saying, this is the illustration here. They just begin to attack Jesus Christ and tell him that his record's not true. And then verse number 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now we can get excited about that because Jesus says, let me give you two witnesses, God the Father and God the Son. and we are true, and my witness is true. And I'm trying to get you to understand that I am the light of the world, and through me you can have eternal life. Through me you can have salvation. And what did they do with the pearl of Jesus Christ? They trampled on top of it. Verse number 19. Then said they unto him, "Where is thy father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father." These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins." Why will they die in their sins? Because they've rejected the pearl of salvation. Then the Jews said, "Will he kill himself? Because he said, 'Whither I go, you cannot come.'" And he said unto them, listen to this. Jesus makes it very clear. Now, I want you to understand, here's what he said. "Ye are pigs. Ye are dogs. Ye are swine." Well, he didn't say it like that, preacher. No, he just said, "You're from hell. Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Everybody get this? Yep. Don't trample on that which is precious. Yes, and then verse 25, "Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou?' And Jesus said," I've been telling you. By this time Jesus had raised people from the dead. Healed leprosy. Only God can do that. Jesus validated who he was over and over and over. Now listen, this morning I was reading in my Bible reading. I'm a little bit ahead, so I don't want to bust your bubble or tell. He waits until Lazarus is dead 4 days. Then he goes into the city of Bethany, and of course he confronts Mary and Martha, and they're tore up about the death of their brother Lazarus. And Jesus even cried because he saw that. And then he had said, "Roll the stone away." And they're like, "Lord, don't roll the stone away. He's been dead four days. He stinketh." He said, "Roll it away." And he called forth Lazarus out of the grave. And the people that saw it, some of them believed, and some of them ran into town and told the Pharisees, and they said, "Man, we got to get rid of this guy." Did you hear what I said? He raised a guy from the dead. And Jesus said, that's why he said, "You're from beneath." Same idea. You see that you cannot give that which is precious? Let's go on. I want to finish this. Because it gets here in just a minute. Verse 28. Jesus said unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." And he said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Now I want you to take verse number 12 through verse number 29, and you have two sets of people. You have those that are listening intently and taking a hold of what Jesus is saying, and you have those that are arguing with him and are devils and are beneath, they're from beneath and won't listen. And here's what verse number 30 said, "As he spake these words, many believed on him." Isn't that precious? Amen. When a person hears the truth and they repent and get saved? Absolutely. And Jesus even said to those that believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then the dogs and the hogs come back at him and say, "Well, we've never been any man bondage to any man. We're Abraham's seed, and thou sayest you make us free." Jesus said in verse 34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever." And they just go on and argue with him and argue with him and argue with him. I'm just going to try to summarize, but in verse 44, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and of the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You know what Jesus is saying? There's going to come a time where every person needs to understand in judgment, in discernment, in wisdom, that you can't give your pearls to a pig. Amen. Then again, that takes us back to Matthew 5:20, that says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. It would have been unthinkable for a Jew to throw those dogs a piece of holy meat. They would have never done that. I mean, if you go through the offerings of the Old Testament, and they understood all this. And if no man was to eat that part of the sacrifice, how much less would they throw it to a dog? And a wild animal whose primary concern is scavenging for food will hardly appreciate if you throw him a pearl. Some people refuse to receive Bible truth. Wicked men and women have no respect for the most valuable things of life. They despise the things of God. They hesitate not to use the Lord's name in vain. And they have little sense of moral value. It could be in their minds that they've been brutalized, covered over with filth of some kind. There may be some kind of spiritual stronghold. It may be they have lived a life which has obscured their ability to see truth. It may be that they are constant mockers of all things holy. It may be sometimes happens that they have absolutely, we have absolutely no common ground. But it doesn't mean we're not to love them and preach to them and show them the truth. Because there's always those who will listen. But there's also those who think the preaching of the Bible is foolishness and nothing but a joke. That's who Jesus is talking about. These people value things that have no value to them. And dogs and hogs and character are a peril to God's people, especially when they give that which is holy and valuable a value to the beast. Now let me make a... When there is no respect for the gift, there will be no respect for the giver. In fact, they will rend the giver with slander, mocking, jeering, rejection, intimidation, hatred, verbal abuse, and sometimes physical abuse. Well, preacher, how can we apply this? Well, I'm going to spend a couple of minutes on that, and then we'll be done. Now, I told you already that I'm almost positive that Jesus was talking to his disciples about what they would confront, not only in the time that he was upon the earth with them through the disciples and the scribes. And we see that over and over and over again, just like in John chapter 8. That's not the only chapter. That's just the one I happened to read this week and go, wow. Jesus was really given a hard saying on these pearls and dogs and scavengers. And these people were really vicious. I mean, they thought they paid Judas Iscariot 30 pieces of silver just so they could betray him in the Garden of Eden. And they took him to a mock trial. And they got Roman authority to crucify him, and he never did anything wrong.
That's right.
Amen. But we know that it was for the sins of us. Yes. Amen. Some believe and receive the precious pearl. Others mocked and would not receive the truth. And I'm telling you right now, you have to be careful on wasting your time on people who will never listen. But seek to spend your time giving the message to those who will respect it and respond to it. I'm just going to give you a personal testimony of mine. When I began pastoring in 1989, I was only 29 years old. And I was 100 miles an hour. I was 100 miles an hour. I've slowed down to 80, but I was 100 back then. Maybe 120. And I soon realized within a year or two that I was spending most of my time on people that were complaining about everything. And I got convicted as I was reading the scripture when I found out that Jesus spent most of his time on those 12 disciples. He didn't spend most of his time on the Pharisees. Now, when he was confronted with the Pharisees, just like in John 8, he made it very clear. And he called them... He called them all kinds of things, trying to rattle them. But here he calls them, you're from beneath. You're not understanding what I'm saying. I'm the light of the world. You're not listening. And again, Jesus validated everything that he said. They just hated him. So I turned that around and I decided in ministry we should spend time with people who want to learn. I can't preach to people if they don't come to church. Amen. I want to preach to people who want to hear the truth. Amen. Help those who want to be helped, not those who refuse it and fight you if you try to help them. And there is no doubt Jesus Christ had in mind Judas Iscariot, who heard every message that he preached. Saw, I mean, I can't approve, but I would say, wouldn't you say he saw most of the miracles? He was there, and he refused the truth. Now, let me give you an application to some young people. I love the young people who sit on the front row. Here's a great application right here. And I know you've heard it at camp, but be careful who you marry. Because many a girl and many a boy has given themselves to a dog or a hog in their marriage. And seen and their husband and their wife come to despise that which is holy and that which is pure and that which is lovely and have had a ruined life in the process, all because they married. Well, preacher, I think that's pretty bold to say that you can marry a dog or a hog. Well, you can. I mean, this is being symbolic, you understand? How about this one? Application. Be careful about who you hang around. That's right. That's right. Because they will influence you.
That's right.
As someone said, you lay down with the dogs, don't be surprised if you don't get fleas.
That's right.
That's an application of this verse that we're reading right here. If you run with the hogs, you'll find yourself laying in a mud hole.
That's right.
The stench of sin on you will be very pronounced, and it will muddy your life. Wow, one verse. Take that which is precious, place it in your life. And don't throw that precious beatitude, gospel. You know what one of the... breaks my heart when people throw the Bible out. They have no idea what the end result of that's going to be. Take that which is precious and place it in your life. And don't throw that which is precious to the hogs and to the dogs. Let's stand this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus loved those people. Jesus died for those people. And they refused to believe him for salvation. They refused to call upon his name. And I just think, man, you can go read through the Gospels. There are so many illustrations. And here's Jesus in this Sermon on the Mount, this great sermon that we've talked so much about, and how he has raised the standard on every aspect of life. And I mean chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7 And then out of the blue, he talks about hogs and dogs and not throwing precious things to those. No, because they don't care. That's not their... they have no desire for it. Even though Jesus loved them, it came to a point where he's like, they're not going to listen. Now, you could think about the Apostle Paul. And I didn't even bring him up. But you could think about how his life... and how he got saved on the road to Damascus. And how Romans tells us that he had such a burden for the Jewish people. But after a while he had to say, hey, I can't go to the Jews anymore. I got to go to the Gentiles. Because they've refused that which is precious. They have refused that which is holy. They have refused eternal life. And Paul turned to the Gentiles and he preached to them. You know what? They were receptive. Not everyone. I mean, Paul dealt with a lot of nonsense just like Jesus did, in the sense that there were those who hated the gospel and those who beat him and those who reviled him and those who did things against him. But he just kept on keeping on. And I'm just saying to you, Jesus makes it very clear, symbolically, that a dog and a hog will never consider spiritual things into their life. May God help us today. Father, thank you for the truth of your word today. I pray that we could understand there's many applications to be made from this text. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would show us maybe where it needs to be applied in our own life. I pray, Lord, for those that are here without Christ. I pray that they might understand that the love of God passeth all understanding. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh God, I pray that I pray for that one sinner, the closest to eternity than anyone, that would, Lord, you'd show them their need today. May God be with us today to understand, to respect those things that are precious. I pray for the Beatitudes to be a part of our life. And I pray that we would understand that the world will not accept that which is holy and just and precious. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.